Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning into There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We're in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line my big sister, Sheila G. You on the line?
Yes, I am. How are you?
I'm doing good, and Dr. G, you on the line?
We are here.
Amen, amen. Good to have you back on the line on another Thursday Bible study. We're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Sheila G and Dr. G, we are still on high from an anniversary celebration. I believe it was 55 years of the church, and 23 of the pastor's anniversary. It was a great celebration on Sunday, and we just say to God be the glory. It was a high time in the Lord.
It was truly a high time. The Lord just showed up and showed off in you. You delivered a great message.
And amen. We Dr. G, we thank you for your steadfastness. Hasn't always looked like what you've been through, Dr. G.
Amen. God gets the glory out of it. We just follow
Amen.
An
instruction. Amen.
Amen. Amen. But we're going to get into the word tonight. We are, again, in the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew. And it's an interesting chapter because I wouldn't like to say it's more interesting than any of the other ones we study, but we always see Jesus going through a challenging time, but continuing to carry out the will of his Father. And all through this book, we see in his earthly ministry where he is focused on carrying out the will of his Father. He knows what his earthly ministry involves, and that's doing the will of his Father. And simultaneously, Sheila G., also dealing with the spiritual and earthly needs of the people that are surrounding him or the people he comes in contact with. And that pretty much sums up what our life is in a life of ministry, a life of a mother or a father or a dad or a grandfather or whatever your life or your lot in life has given you, is that you're always dealing with what you know you should do and the things that you know you have to do. But then there's always these things that are challenges in your life that will complicate, you know, what you're supposed to be doing. So like, you know, everybody knows you got to get up and you got to go make a living. You get up and go to work every day. But all of the challenges that come along with having to get up and go to work, as far as whether you get up, whether you had a good night's sleep, whether you had to deal with something overnight, whether you got to deal with traffic, whether you got to deal with people on the job, there's yeah. always that human factor or our uh-huh. earthly existence that causes us challenge. But we thank God for the example of Jesus, that as he dealt with it, he was able to continue to focus on keeping the will of his Father. And I admire that, Sheila G, that he stayed steadfast, he stayed focused uh-huh. in spite of the plots and the slub plots and the modus operandi and all the spiritual attacks and physical attacks that came upon him. He still was rooted and grounded in his Heavenly Father, that he was able to endure and continue to be successful. Sheila G.
Amen. And as you were talking about that, it was interesting because I immediately thought about the word focus, because that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to take our focus off of what God wants us to do. And by doing that, his best way of attack is distractions, is the stumbling blocks, mm-hmm. challenges of regular everyday life. Because he knows that we're walking in flesh, to what you were preaching about on Sunday. And we have to lean on the Spirit. And that Spirit is what gets us through that physical challenges, mm-hmm. those stumbling blocks, and helps us to focus on the spiritual, which you get through. I think about when sometimes when traffic, or I'd be running late because of the kids, mm-hmm. and all the kids here. And I'm trying to get to work, and then somebody got sick, or somebody couldn't
yep.
find a shoe,
yep.
something like that. And it used to frustrate me, but as I matured in Christ, I realized mm-hmm. that there was some reason that he didn't want me to get out the door at that point in time.
Amen.
And a lot of time it was like I would get in the car, and I'd hear there was an accident on the Beltway. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
that, and it was, my spirit would say, now, see, if I had gotten out on time, I could have been in the midst of that accident, or, you know,
mm-hmm.
there is a reason. And I would always have to constantly remind myself that regardless of what those distractions are, whatever those stumbling blocks are, God is still in control. So I can't make things worse by getting frustrated and just falling all apart, but I just have to trust him to get me through whatever that situation is. And that's what he's providing as we read through this chapter. He's providing an example
mm-hmm.
of that. You can stay focused on your mission,
right.
on God's mission, and on God's destiny for you in the midst of all that confusion, understanding that the confusion is coming specifically to help you, to get you to lose focus.
Amen.
Amen. Dr. G, you want to chime in on that?
Well, I agree with what Sheila G is saying, because when you look at Christ, you know, she mentioned the word focus. And, well, I mean, he was the Son of God. He knew what his mission was. And even though he knew it, he was still tempted, as we are.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
human, for those of us that claim to be followers of the Lord, you know, it's not a joke and it's not a game. We have to make up in our minds as to whether or not we're going to seriously follow the Lord or we're going to leave it alone. You know, this hit and miss thing, this part-time being in Christ, and then the rest of the time we want to do our own thing. You just can't do that if you're serious with a life of Christ. And with that, you have to grow in the body of the Lord to stay focused on the
mm-hmm.
Lord. Time the devil gets through throwing a little bit of this and a little bit of that, it will easily get your focus off of Christ if you're not careful. So we have to, you know, we have to be mindful. We have to stay prayed up, and we've got to stay in that word.
Amen.
To really keep
right.
us on the path that we are supposed to go.
Amen.
Right. Amen. And and we're going to pick up Matthew 26. And I just wanted to go back to verse 14 real quick and see how Judas had a modus operandi, his mode or ulterior motive. Here he is, he's in the inner circle with Jesus, and he's plotting against Jesus to have him arrested. So if we go back to verse 14, it says, then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and asked, what are you willing to give me? This is his plan to betray Jesus.
Wow.
He said, if I deliver him over to you. So they counted out him 30 pieces of silver for them. For then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. And what I find so interesting about this, Sheila G and Dr. G, is we have to stop being so naive as believers to think that there's not always a plot out there to try to take us out.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. some people say that that might be paranoid, or some people might say that that might be to a point where you're always scared or something, but that's just being vigilant. That's just watching and praying to
right.
understand that the enemy is like a roaring lion going to and fro in the earth, seeing whom he may devour. Now that's word right there, that scripture. And here Jesus is going about doing good, going about carrying out the will of his Father, but at the same time, understanding that there's a plot, there's a modus operandi for someone that is close to him, that
yeah.
he's taught, that he's been with, that he's mentored. And those people are the ones that are allowing themselves to be used by God, I mean used by Satan, to
yep.
come against God's person or God's man or God's woman doing the work of God. And so in ministry, and so in ministering and as being a Christian, we have to always be vigilant that there's always a plot. And number one, we can either be used in that plot with Satan, and so we have to be careful not to allow ourselves to be used, and then
yeah,
other
right.
people can be used. And so
that's right.
why it was so important that when Jesus was resurrected, and he said, go meet me in Galilee. And so when they were in one place and on one accord, that's when the Holy Spirit came. And so when we understand that any one of us can be used by the enemy, we can be tempted, we can be deceived to be used by the enemy to basically destroy ourselves. But if we understand that the enemy is trying to pit each other against each other, trying to sow seeds of discord, then we can be aware, always reminding ourselves not to get caught up in that foolishness, always being reminded to tell somebody else not to get caught up in that foolishness, because that is just a tactic, is to get people that are in the church to turn on people in the church. Sheila G.
Amen, amen. Right. I see it all the time where Satan, and he uses the same thing. And we as Christians know that Satan plays on our emotions. At the end of the day, it's about our emotions. It's about how we feel. It's about our feelings. And Satan will twist that around and make you feel a certain way so that you feel you have the right to say something or say something about somebody, instead of stopping and praying and saying, is that what God wants me to do? Is that the God's
mm-hmm.
thing to do? If you're not vigilant, Satan will take those emotions, because they're real emotions,
amen,
and use mm-hmm. them to attack. Before you know it, everything's out of control.
That's right.
And it's like, then you don't even remember what you were mad about,
amen,
or what you were upset about. But you let him hop on your back and start all that mess going. And because you weren't focused and walking in Christ, and that is one of the things as to why we have to be vigilant, why we have to understand that he desires to sift us like wheat, and to
mm-hmm.
to think that he doesn't have power on his earth. Satan does have power on his earth, and that power is to mess with our emotions.
Amen.
But we have a choice
yeah.
to say, you know, to resist it, and he'll have to flee. But what happens is, because we're not focused and we're more on our selfish ways, thinking about how I feel as opposed to what God wants me to do and being obedient, that we just let Satan hop a ride, and then the next thing you know, we're just doing things because, just like Judas here, he wanted money. He was greedy, you know? He was
mm-hmm.
And that's what happens in the church. That's what happens on the job. You see it in the street. Why people all of a sudden are lashing out and being angry as opposed to being positive. And that's just those demons all around. And if you aren't being vigilant to resist that,
mm-hmm.
you'll hop around and there it goes.
Amen. And it's so prevalent here. And it's like when he went to do it, it's like Jesus knew he was going to do it. And he actually called it out. And I think that is one of the things. I think sometimes we're scared to call, I wouldn't say scared, but hesitant to call it out.
Mm-hmm.
And to let people know that's not of God. And
amen.
To be humble enough to be able to say, okay, I'm going to be able to tell you when that's not of God. And I'm going to be humble enough for you to be able to tell me when that's not of God. Let's agree on what the word says. Let's not do what thus said me or thus said you, but let's do what thus said the Lord. And if we're humble enough to do this, then we can get through anything because
amen.
We agree to do it God's way. And so here, Jesus is saying, all right, I'm going to go ahead and call it out. And give this guy a chance to get back in line. So if we go down to verse 20, this is when they were eating the Passover meal. Jesus was eating it for the last time, the old covenant, where they took the blood of goats and they put it on the doorpost and the lintel. And so when the death angel came after the 10th plague in Egypt, that he saw the blood and he passed over. And so they observed this Passover every year until Jesus came and instituted what we call the Lord's Supper, or the new covenant that was in his blood. And so here they are in this place where Jesus had appointed him to go and to observe the Passover. And Judas had already gone and took the money, the blood money, and
mm-hmm.
was looking for an opportunity to sell Jesus out to the high priest. And you look at verse 20, he says, when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me. So here he is. Telling Dr. G, telling them, okay, what are you going to betray? And here's the opportunity for Judas to come clean, to say, hey, I screwed up. Hey, you know, you called me out. Let me try to make this amends. But he kept on with the plot. He kept on with it. And I believe you said that last week, Dr. G, is that they get too stubborn or won't be humble enough to come out of their ways to try to get back on the right path with God. And that's one of the most troubling thing in the church, is to see people know they're wrong, know they're outside of the word of God, but won't humble themselves enough to say, hey, this isn't right. I screwed up. Hey, forgive me. I need to change. I need to ask you for forgiveness. I need to ask the Lord for forgiveness. That's why we always say that when we you know, prepare for communion service is
right.
is that we, you know, examine ourselves to make sure that we're worthy of partaking of the body and the blood of the Lord, and so that we don't eat damnation unto ourselves. Because
Amen.
That's an opportunity for us to be able to say, hey, I truly needed to repent. I truly needed to go a different direction. I'm going to be humble enough to listen to what Jesus said, because Jesus knows what's going on. And that's with us when we're studying the Word. When we're studying the Word will convict you. The Spirit will convict you and let you know when you're wrong.
It'll
let you know when you need to change your way. And so here Jesus is saying, one of you guys is going to betray me. And so
mm-hmm.
that's just like the Word. When the Word tells us, we need to go and talk to somebody. We need to ask for forgiveness. The Word will find you out. So there's no reasoning why we shouldn't be humble enough to squash whatever it is that we're not getting along with each other. Because if we're in the Word, truly, if two people are in the Word, they can come to agreement in the Word and say, you're right, I was wrong,
Amen.
Or you're right, forgive me,
Amen.
Or you're right, or I'm and let's do it God's way and keep it moving and
right.
gain your brother and or gain your sister without even, you know, having to get into a big stink.
Right.
Dr. G, you got to chime in on that, Dr. G?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're right. But, you know, like we were saying last week, once an individual gets caught up in his pride, it's almost as if that pride takes it a little bit further, and then the ego and everything else takes control. We're not really, you know, the individual is not really focused on the right thing to do before the Lord. Now, they can call themselves Christians or whatever else, but at that point, all their focus is on, you know, their emotions, and you hit on it Sunday so beautifully. You know, we get caught up in our emotions, and then we become insensitive to anything and everything. And so at that point, the pride takes over. Satan got us. And
mm-hmm.
rather than admit that, you know, we're wrong, it's like that's too much for us to come back and say, you know what, as you said, I'm sorry, I've made a mistake. You know,
mm-hmm.
how can I be forgiven? What can I do to make amends? And Sunday evening, once we had everything done, we were getting ready to go out to church. That very
mm-hmm.
thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
Satan got a hold
mm-hmm.
of one of the members,
mm-hmm.
and he got caught up in his emotion,
mm-hmm.
just going
mm-hmm.
off. And they called me, and I had to tell them, enough is enough. This
enough.
Is not the this. But that's the way we get caught up, and we become so sensitive that, you know, we're already
mm-hmm.
caught up in our pride, and it's like pride just carries it on. It's like almost as if, okay, we've got to see it through, forget the right or the wrong, forget what's godly, what's spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
We got to see it through. And that's what happened with Judas.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Sheila G., you want to chime in on this?
No, I mean, I agree 100%. It is all about that pride and us looking at ourselves and looking at how we're feeling, and we have a right. We're always talking about we have a right to say, or
express
I will
ourselves.
To express ourselves. Or one thing that the young people really say nowadays is, I will not be disrespected.
Oh,
you know, it's like,
mm-hmm.
instead of saying, what would God want me to be?
Mm-hmm.
How can I be an ambassador for Christ? How can I represent Christ?
Amen. And that's just real. It's like Jesus knows what his assignment was. But, you know, to me, this is a really, really showing maturity, is to be able to speak the word to people even when they are way out of line. And that doesn't come easy, to be able to remain Christ-like and to be able to listen to someone, especially when they're attacking your character or running you down or just flat out lying or being deceptive or getting caught up in a group or a clique or something,
mm-hmm.
and not get caught, get swayed into that yourself, and be able to be led by the Spirit and say, I'm going to be rooted and grounded. And I know this person is way out there. This person is talking about me. This person is running me down. This person is selling me out. This person is trying to get rid of me. But I'm going to be Christ-like, and I'm going to tell them what thus said the Lord. I'm going to love them in spite of them, and I'm going to tell them what the word is. Because ultimately, God's will and God's plan is going to be done. But along the way, there's going to be challenges, and I'm going to speak the word. So let's go back to the word where he says, verse 21, and while they were eating. In other words, this is a time of relaxing, time of enjoying the Passover, and time of fellowship. And like you said, Dr. G, at the anniversary, Satan came in there and started manipulating some folk at the end. And this is just a common setting where Jesus is with his 12 and they're eating at the table, and he's like, what are y'all going to betray me? In verse 22, it says, they were sad and began to say to him one after another, surely you don't mean me, Lord. And, you know, it's like people are perpetrating a fraud, and you know they did wrong. You know they're the ones that said it. And they're trying to cover it up. And they're trying to put cologne on the turd or something like that. And it's just stinking. Yeah. And, you know, everybody is looking at him like, no, not me, not me. And so when Jesus says in verse 23, Jesus replied, the one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. In other words, Jesus said, you know, this is the one that's going to betray me, but this is already betrayed, already written, so I know what's going on. This is not going to stop me from carrying out the word of my Father. So just so you know, he says in verse 24, the Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But he says, but woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It will be better for him that he had not been born. And in verse 25, it says, Judas, the one who would betray him, said, surely you don't mean me, Rabbi. So this is the part I'm struggling with. I'm just being real. This is the part I'm struggling with. You know, this guy had to have some kind of gall to be able to look you in your face and pretend like he hadn't already had a meeting with the rabbis. I had already gotten paid, Dr. G.
Amen.
And here he is. Jesus got him dead to right, perpetrating the fraud, and lying up in your face. Dr. G, how smooth was Jesus when he answered in the second part of that verse? He said, Jesus answered, you have said so. In other words, you told on yourself.
Hello.
And what I find out is, sooner or later, people, because you can't keep telling the lie, because you forget the lie that you told. So sooner or later, the lie that people tell is going to catch up with them. Dr. G?
Well, you know, you're right. And again, you know, that it shows how caught up Judas was in the mess that he was doing. And, I mean, and Christ in his own little way, he kept trying to get boyfriend an opportunity on back. But he was so in it that he went on through it. And for Christ to say what he said, and I mean, now that right there would have been enough for me. I done did myself. I'm ready to betray you, but yet you done called me out on
him out.
In front of the other brethren. But see, he was already embarrassed at that point. So his mind said, well, I got to go on and do it now.
He got the money in his pocket.
Right, he got the money. And I don't know if he feared the council more than he feared Christ or what. But, you know, right. But it showed where his, I hate to say spiritualness was, but it showed where it was at that point.
Amen.
Yeah. He had sold his soul to the devil.
Amen.
Yep.
He sold his soul. Sheila G. And sometimes you look at people And you say they can't be converted because they had every opportunity to repent,
right.
And they just keep on going. They won't stop. They dug in, and any Christ in them, and you appeal, and this is with ministry, you appeal to the Christ in people. But if you're appealing and there's no response, Sheila G., you have to accept it for what it is, Sheila G.
Amen. And I really think that down inside, he thought he had gotten away with it.
Yep.
And it's kind of like when somebody gets their hand caught in the cookie jar, or they thought they'd done something and they thought they got away with it. And then it's like, oh, not me, not me, mm-hmm. not me. But yeah, it's you. And you and when Jesus pretty much, and that's what's amazing about God, and when your enemies come at you, God still shows a way of letting that enemy know that you may have tried, but guess what? This child of God still got the victory.
Amen.
So not only is Jesus calling him out, but he's saying you're not as powerful or as bad as you think you are, because this was already
mm-hmm.
ordained, and we already
right.
knew that your heart was hardened. And so now it was like he was cold-busted and disgusted, so he just flew out his mouth with, is it I? Because he probably could not believe. He didn't have that faith, because even though they saw the miracles, he was more interested in the money, or like Pastor said, maybe the trade of the council, that he didn't really believe that Jesus would know that he did that.
Mm.
And like you said, he had an opportunity once he got his hand caught in the cookie jar, but at that point, he'd already eaten the cookies and had crumbs on his face at that point. So he's like, well, I may as well enjoy it. But I really think he thought that he got away with it because he was thinking all about himself,
mm-hmm.
that pride. And mm-hmm. when Jesus called him out, it was kind of like shock. Like, what? And you know, and it's like when our enemies come against us and they see you later and see how God
mm-hmm.
has risen above. All of us have been in that situation
right.
where somebody
mm-hmm.
thought that they down, got over on you, and somehow, some way, God revealed it to them that in spite of you, just like Joseph, what you meant to be evil, God
right.
turned it into
right.
good. And it's the same thing. He's like, okay, you doing what you're doing, what you think you're getting away with, number one, you know you're not. You're being used by the devil. And
mm-hmm.
I know about it, and we're still going to get the victory anyway.
Mm-hmm. And the thing about that, too, he was already in it. He had to keep the lie going because he was in boys, you know. In his mind said, okay, if Christ knows, if he knows, he done called
mm-hmm.
him out. He wasn't thinking about all that.
No.
But he had to keep the lie going because he was in front of his boys.
Yep.
Right. And that's just on the way to the cross. A little bit of what Jesus had to deal with.
Amen.
I mean,
yeah.
It is like I said, there's nothing new under the sun. There are so many times where we study the Word of God, and a situation will come up with that this week or next week or whatever, and be like, this is just exactly what the way it was with the Word of God. And you'll run into something or some situation or someone or somebody, and it'll play out just like it plays out in the Word, and you're like, oh, my God, truly there's nothing new under the sun. How in the world have we not paid attention to the Word enough to realize that everything that we go through is covered in the Word of God? And if we would just stick with the Word of God, we could be like Jesus in the second part of that verse 25, when Judas said, surely you don't mean me, Rabbi, and instead of cussing somebody out and telling them they're full of whatever, Jesus
uh-huh.
just answered and said, you have said so. So smooth,
yeah.
so elegant,
uh-huh.
so to the point, realizing, you know, getting upset, getting mad is not going to do it. And he just said, well, this is what you said. This is who you said you were. I'm not going to, you know, get bent out of shape. That's just who you are. I mean, you know, if you choose to go down that road, I can't go forward. All I can do, and this is what I tell people say, well, Pastor, you don't seem sensitive or you don't care. I say, well, all I can do is I'm going to pray for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the word. And
yeah.
then after I give you the word and pray for you, I'm going to climb my steps.
Thank
I'm going to get in my bed. I'm going to kiss my wife if she wants to be kissed. I'm going to pull up my covers, and I'm going to go to sleep. And mama look at me like, oh, my gosh, what? It's like, because I can't change anybody. The best
right.
thing I can do is give you that word, pray
That's
for
right.
you.
Amen.
And if you respond to the word and you respond to prayer, then you'll be okay. But if not, I can't lose no sleep. So I'm going to climb my steps.
That's
I'm going
right.
to get in my bed. I'm going to kiss my wife. Like I said, if she wants to be kissed, she might not want to be kissed. But I'm not going to worry about it either. I'm going to pull up my covers, and I'm going to go to sleep.
Amen, somebody.
because if the word and prayer can't help you, I don't know what can.
Thank
Amen.
Dr. G,
you know,
G,
you
right help me.
Because at that point, nothing we say or do is going to make a difference.
That's right.
And I had to learn that. I've learned now that, you know, worrying about it, getting upset because folk going to do what they're going to do. They're going to leave the church. Okay, bye.
Amen.
And I don't worry about it anymore.
Amen.
And I, you know, I put it all in the hands of the Lord because I've got work to do.
That's right.
I've got a job that I must do. That either I'm going to do it with 100 or I'm going to do it with 10.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
as long as I'm faithful, I'm going to get my reward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to hear the Lord say, well done,
right.
thou good and faithful servant.
Over
Not
Amen.
That. You know, you let this one little Negro upset you, so you're going to miss out. I don't want to be like Moses. I want to be able to make
I know
it
that's right.
happen because I have to be obedient because I've seen all that the Lord can do.
Mm-hmm.
And like mm-hmm. we said, we can't change anybody's mind. We can give you the
no.
word, pray for you,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
then for you to either accept
right.
it or reject it.
That's right.
And we find that most, I don't want to say most people, but the average individual is not
mm-hmm.
ready to accept because they don't know enough about the Lord yet.
Amen.
Sheila G?
Yeah, I mean, I was just, when he was saying about Moses, I was just thinking about Moses and lately I've been studying the book of Exodus, and it was like
mm-hmm.
every time people are just wishy-washy.
Hello.
You know, they would see the miracles, and they'd say, oh, God is wonderful. God is great. Then as soon as they hit a rough patch, oh, why did you
yep.
take us out of here? It would have been better for us to be slaves. Then they're like, oh,
yeah,
I'm hungry. He would feed them. Then, and you know, and he's like, and it just frustrated Moses.
Amen.
To the point where he was like, I am sick of all of y'all. And then he was overworking himself. Had to like, okay, look, you need to take some of this weight off of you because at the end of the day, we are human beings.
Yes, Lord.
And because
mm-hmm.
we're human, we got to recognize we're dealing with human beings.
That's right.
And by recognizing that people are just people and at the end of the
right.
day, they have a choice, we truly have to walk by faith and not by sight. Give it to them, let them have it. But if God has given them a choice, we can't make any.
Nope.
God doesn't make people
mm-mm.
do stuff. So what makes
nope.
you think we're going to make someone
nope.
do it? If you want to
Amen.
Follow it, I say give you the word. But I'm going to tell you like Jesus says, the choice is yours.
Amen.
Judas had a choice. It's like you said
he
it,
did.
But at the end of the day, the choice is yours. I'm not going to sit there and tie you up and tell you, because technically Jesus had the power to make him not do it.
Mm-hmm.
But he
mm-hmm.
was but to Judas, the choice is yours. So, yeah, and I know what you're about to do. You know, it's like I say, when you have kids that lie in your face. No, I ain't take that car. Okay, it's parked
mm-hmm.
crooked in a different radio station.
In there.
But okay.
Amen. Yeah, but I learned that in ministry. It's like if prayer and the word can't help
right.
you. Me sitting
nope.
up all night worried about it, it's not going to help.
Man.
And Jesus was so smooth in that verse where he said, you said so. He was like, okay, that's what you said. But we're gonna go through the phone lines tonight. I know last week we didn't get a chance to go through the phone lines. We're going to ask the question tonight. how has Jesus helped you deal with people on a daily basis? How has Jesus helped you deal with people on a daily basis? I'm going to go to the first caller. Last four digits, 1411. You're on the air.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
He's helped me a lot in all aspects of my life. Family life, I'm dealing with people. You deal with people all day. You interact with your siblings, your parents, your grandparents. You also, in relationships that you have, people you've dated, close friends, work, you deal with people. But, you know, God has truly helped me, especially with my family, because, you know, as a child, I hear you guys talking and giving analogies of things you did as kids and things that your kids did, your children did as kids. You know, it amazes me because, you know, you always think your parents are crazy. You always think that you're right. You always think that they don't understand. And then, you know, I had to get it one day. It was like, you know what? My parents used to be kids themselves. So apparently they've been here, done that. They know what's going on. And it's like, you even get to the point where you convince yourself that you're not lying, but you know that you are. You're just mad at your parents trying to figure you out. So, and it kind of goes back to the old adage that I always say, is like, you know what? If me doing it my own way results in headache, lying, double talking, got to remember to lie last week, all the other stuff, and I'm stressing, losing sleep, getting mad, irritable, frustrated, why don't I just do what my parents say, even though I don't like it now, see how it goes, see what happens. And once I realize, like, you know what? I've seen a lot of my friends that I got mad my parents didn't want me to hang out with fall by the wayside. I've seen decisions that I would normally have made by myself, and I said, you know what? I don't like it, but let me listen to my mother and my father. I've seen the benefit of it. So after a while, you start to realize, like, hey, mom and dad know what they're talking about. And in the grand scheme of things, you're never going to see eye to eye. But it's the fact is you learn how to talk. You learn how to negotiate. You learn how to work together, because that's what it's all about. You know, your parents are never going to tell you anything that, you know, that's going to put you in harm's way. And I've had to learn that, but I had to learn it through trial and error to the point where I got on board. Kind of transition to my professional career, I'm in customer service. I deal with irate people all day, every day. That's what I get paid to do. I'm a customer advocate. So I know when this work phone rings, somebody's upset because we did or didn't do something. Somebody just said, hey, call this guy. He's going to take care of it. But I got to filter through the name calling, the four-letter words, what they're going to do, you know, threatening to go to my boss. And I have to always remember that when I get in my truck, I have a target on my back. That's the reality of it. But I've had to pray and say prayers and say, Lord, I have my own problems, things that I want to do, but I sit here and get paid to deal with other people's problems, frustrations, try to make a way out of no way when things seem to be, you know, impossible. But I've learned that prayer, God has given me patience. God has given me the mindset to think before I react, not to react emotionally. And I've, you know, developed a pattern. And truly, you know, I've always said to you guys, you know, this is what I need, because the week wears on you. Work wears on you. So it's like anytime you can take advantage to recharge that battery, you know, especially with dealing with people. You know, I sometimes I would just be like, man, I just wish I could just sit in a cubicle and plug away and just worry about myself on the phone. You know, being on call 24/7 and just having people call you. That's the thing. You know, it never ends. So I said I had to find something to change about myself. And I said, you know what? Let me try Jesus. I said, you know, a lot of people frown about really bringing religion into the workplace, or religion should only be in the church or even sometimes in the home. But I've been a model of consistency where you say, you know what, even though I may not be as vocal about it, only when it carry God with me in the presence, the way that I talk to people, the way that I handle situations, I pray about it. You know what I'm saying? Because I could easily get something wrong and not resolve an issue, but I pray. I give it to God. I say, Lord, use me to help me resolve this issue, to calm this person down, most importantly, to keep me calm. So dealing with people day to day has truly shown that, you know, it can only be God. People say, man, I mean, you never missed a day of work in 11 years and you're dealing with people all day. How do you do it? God, that's how I do it, you know. But it's not me doing it. It's God working through me to be able to do it and still have the mental capacity to be able to function after dealing with it. Yeah. But it can only be God. But I had to get to the point where I had to realize, like, hey, this is a daunting task. You can't do it by yourself. You need God to do it. And, you know, reading in the scriptures and doing all the things that you guys have said to do at first. And pastor tell you, we used to have a conversation. Hey, man, I missed you on prayer service the other day. Or, hey, you know, I didn't hear your Bible study, but he would just drop a little something, you know, and I would just be like, oh, you know, I'm going to try. And I was making excuses. I'd be too tired. And he knew I'd shoot straight with pastor. He knows. I'd be like, hey, I was tired or I was busy. But then as I found, I said, you know what, kind of like the father-son relationship. He's going to tell me what to do, but then he'll sit back and watch and say, okay, I'm going to let Brandon do it his way. And then when I realized, like, hey, let me start calling in because, you know, now that I have some free time, I don't have any excuses. I'm not going to lie to the man. So if I'm not busy, let me call in. Then 1 week turned into Then 2 weeks turned into 4 weeks. And the next thing I know, years later, I'm still consistently calling, and God has allowed it. So my job doesn't intervene for this hour every Thursday that where I can call in and do the things. And I look at pastor and smile. I'm like, yeah, I've learned a lot, not only about God, but I've learned a lot about myself. But truly God is the key to why I've been able to learn how to deal with people and navigate it, because you're always going to have people attack you, as you guys said. You're always going to have storms. Those things are going to come, but it may not come at the point where you may be mentally ready for it. You might be at your weakest when you get attacked. Turn to God. Even if you're at your strongest, turn to God. Don't ever feel that you have to take that on by yourself, because you deal with people in the church. They're some of the church people are the worst people by far. Yeah. And we have to deal with, and I don't know any aspect of anybody's life where you don't interact with people unless you're in a prison cell in a hole somewhere or you in the middle of Antarctica. Mm-hmm. Other than that, that's what you deal with daily on the highways. You deal with it at work, your personal life, your kids. So it's like you have to turn to God, because we're in this flesh, we're in the emotion. And the only way that you can show people that, hey, we can get along, even though we may not see eye to eye, but we're both working towards a common goal, a common good, that should be what unites us, to say, you know what, even though I disagree with pastor, I know his vision is the same as mine. I know his goal is the same as mine. Let's work together to do it. And that's how we should all think, especially in the church, especially in the workplace. We're team members. We're fighting amongst ourselves, but guess what? We're on the same team. We're all Christians. We're all members of the church, or we're all related. We got the same last name. My blood in my veins is the same as the blood that flows in your veins. Or my badge that gets me in my job every day is the same badge that gets you in your job every day. We're team members. We got a common goal. Whatever that goal is, we have common goals. So why are we fighting? Why are we bickering? Because we're making it about ourselves. And until we stop doing that, Christians specifically are going to always have issues with dealing with other folks, especially people who aren't in the body of Christ. But I truly thank God. I love you guys for what you do. I really can't thank you enough, because I've truly grown and become better in navigating the day-to-day with dealing with people in all aspects of my life. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Amen. Great word, great word. We want to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Evening.
Good evening.
I thank God for just being patient and understanding with me. And as I get older, I begin to understand more about the love that Jesus had and the his patience and his mercy that he gives unto us. And so I've learned now to ask God to help me to be patient and show mercy to other people and be more understanding of them. But it took prayer. And like Brandon, when I worked at the hospital for 12 years before I retired, I worked on the Cancer Institute. Main line, I answered the phone. And so every day when you call in, my voice was the first voice that greeted you and talked to you. And there were times that I really didn't want to, I didn't feel like talking. You know, I didn't have a choice. It was my job. And so when I greeted the patients that call in or the customers that call in, I had to show love in my voice. And so there were times that I might got a little rough, or, you know, didn't show that much love or courtesy, whatever you want to say, and I would get convicted. The Lord would simply tell me, you don't have no love in your voice. You're not showing any love in your voice. And so this was something that I had to pray for, because there were times where you got up in the morning, you might not want to talk to nobody, you know?
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
But
right.
Because it was your job, you had to do it. And I loved it. I learned a lot. I was so blessed. There were many times, yes, did I get cursed out? Yes. Were people rude to me? Yes. But I could not do that back to them because we were trained, you know, that you had to be courteous. You had to show love. You had to show that patience and that understanding. And so it helped me a lot, having my son, having grandchildren, just working in the church. You know, through the many experiences that I've gone through dealing with people, helped me to grow because I've gotten into various situations where I didn't handle them well. And, you know, I went home and I asked God to help me and I cried about it. I prayed about it. You know, let me grow spiritually so I can be a better person.
Amen.
And so when I go out now, I'm always reminded that you say that you're a Christian, then, you know, you have to project that light because you are always being watched. People expect so much out of us. I mean, you know, they can live any kind of way they want to live. But we are always on display. And that it doesn't bother me because I want to do that which is right and pleasing to God. And that's the most important thing. And so I pray and ask him to help me with this Christian walk. Do I get irritable? Yes, I do. You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that every day I am, you know, 100%. No.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm not, I ask God to help me.
Amen.
So that my light will always shine. And that's all I can do. All I can do is stay in my word. And believe me, the word convicts me. I thank God for you all teaching. I've learned so much being on the Bible study line. I thank God for that.
Yeah.
I thank God for, you know, just allowing me to share the word with others. And that's another thing, too, because when you teach something, when you preach something, you have to live it.
Amen.
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 So I ask God to help me to live it. Yes, I do fail sometimes, and because we all walk in this flesh, and
right.
we're going to make mistakes, you know. If I was all that, I wouldn't need Jesus, and Jesus wouldn't die for us.
All right,
so, you know, I might as well tell it like it is. I need the Holy Spirit. What I'm trying to say tonight is I need the Holy Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit leading and guiding me, without me praying to him, asking him to help me, I cannot do anything.
Amen.
Amen.
Everything I do is dependent upon the Holy Spirit guiding me and leading me 24/7.
Amen.
And without him leading me, I am lost.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank
amen.
You
thank you for your amen. Well, thank you for your comments tonight. We go to the next caller. Last 4 digits 9772. 9772. You're on the air.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Well, I guess I got a long story over there, so I can say this. I got so much in locked up in me, so I know that the old days that I would be able to snatch some down and where I worked around knives and cleavers and saws and whatnot, and I wasn't evil, but there was always an evil person around me. The man used them to use on you, and I get wrapped up and get tight, and I think about things, and I say, has Jesus helped me nowadays? I didn't look at him like that because anytime one, you know, used to say, if a man gonna whoop you, don't wait till he jump on you. Just you go on and get him and get him then, because now you know what he's gonna do now. And I guard up and get cut up or nothing that. So I kept my years on and on and on and give it on to me. And I got into older now where I appreciate God because he shows me every day the devil's always Jesus knows where I'm going, and the devil knows where I'm going. I'm heading for it. and he know I'm heading for heaven. And
right.
he uses mm-hmm. every day to try to turn me around. And it's hard
right.
to follow God because he knows that I'm coming, but wherever he's at, I'm coming to him. But I'm fighting it hard. It's hard because
right.
the devil mm-hmm. chases every day. He chases me every day. And it's
mm-hmm.
so hard for me to keep my mouth closed because I used to be able to just snatch him. And when you open your mouth, just go and do what you got to
right.
do to me because I don't believe. And he holds me back, my mouth. He says, hold it. Keep your mouth closed. And
yeah.
give it to me.
Yeah.
And this is where I hold my mouth. And it's so hard. It's so hard. God knows it's hard. Oh, the devil knows he be working on my emotion. Yes, Lord, he do. He do,
mm-hmm.
but Jesus keeps holding my mouth and says, shut up and just give
yeah.
it to me, and I'll take care of it.
Amen.
And I can't get no more than that.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, it's all right.
God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Thank you, God.
Well, thank you for your comment tonight. Amen. That's good stuff. Good stuff. All right, we got one more caller on the line. We go to the last four digits, 8520. 8520, you're on the air.
Yes, I want to say that, you know, through it all, God has been really, had me humble. At one time, I used to be my way or the highway. But God, I thank God for just sitting me down and by me, you know, when I was affiliated in the church a long time at a different church, and they
mm-hmm.
literally ran me away. But when I came to New Birth
mm-hmm.
and just to listen to your Bible study every day, I learned how to humble myself in
Amen.
The sight of the Lord. I learned how to
yeah.
talk different to people, and I think, you know, thank the Bible study a lot, and thank my pastor for this. Having faith in me to that I may endure to be the dignity that I want to be. I'm home studying all day.
Amen.
And I learned how to humble myself in the sight of the Lord. That's all I had
Amen.
To say.
God bless you.
Amen. Thank you
Amen.
For your comment tonight. Amen. Sheila G, Dr. G, is some good heartfelt comments. He was on fire tonight. Goodness gracious. Amen. That's what Jesus would do for you.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. G, any last statements and closes out in prayer, sir?
Well, you know, the whole thing is because it is a personal decision. Everything about Christ is a personal walk. It's a personal decision. And until we become serious about our life in Christ, nothing is ever going to change. And the reason that the devil is so much on our cases is because we have made up in our minds that we're going to follow
mm-hmm.
the Lord. Now, Christ knows that we're nowhere perfect, but, you know, we're growing daily. And once we make up in our minds that we're going to follow him, he gives us
mm-hmm.
what we need. And like we've all, you know, we always say, you can help it out by getting in that Bible, study the show
mm-hmm.
by itself, and having a good prayer life. So you've got to want it. And if you want it, God will give it to you. But we thank the Lord for all of the comments and thank
Amen.
The Lord for another Thursday evening. So with that, we're going to ask everyone just to bow their heads. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, O Lord, for this evening. We thank you for
you.
The opportunity to get into your word. And Lord, while we're praying, we want to thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that he set and gave us the proper example. Father, we thank you right now for the comments that we've heard. We thank you for the teachers. And Lord, we're praying that we will continue to grow and this thing
mm-hmm.
might become real to us, oh Lord, and that we can stand the test of time. Father, we realize that we're nowhere near perfect, but Lord, we
mm-hmm.
thank you that we're not where we used to be. Help us now, Lord, as we continue to grow and do what you want us to do. And Father, we believe in our hearts that if we stand faithful, the time will come when you will call us on home. For we do ask
yes,
it all in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you all next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night. Good night.